664.
He took my burdens all away up to a brighter day. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. A wonderful song I now can sing. In my heart joy bells ring. He gave me a song, a wonderful song.
In the supplemental, 77, Jesus, let us come to know you. We do have answered prayers. Russ Porter's here. He's walking and looks like he's not in more beaten up shape than the last time I saw him. So thankful that you're here, Russ. We've been praying for you. Glad everything is okay. Following this song, we will be led in prayer.
Jesus, let
created heaven, get together and learn about your word. You give meaning to the insanity and bring us out of our difficulties sane. We know you let us go through these difficult times. God, forgive us of the many times we have let you. Give us the strength to do what you want us to do. Remind us to apply what we learned today. Amen. Amen.
Number 110, 110 in the regular book. 110, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Following this song, we will partake of the Lord's Supper.
My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine, for Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer,
for the cup. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the example of the Lord's Supper, for the opportunity to partake of it each and every week, to remember your Son and his sacrifice, the blood that he freely shed for our sins. We pray, Lord, that you bless this cup, bless all those partaking of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would at this time, mark number 480, dare to stand like Joshua would be the song of invitation, 480. And then turn to number 253, heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all. So tonight, as was announced, we are going to have a scripture and prayer service. So following this song, Brother Gary Gibson will be coming up. And the order currently is Gary, Keaton, Aaron, Dave, and Leto. And each one of these men will be coming up. They have scripture to read. They weren't given a specific assignment from me. So they asked me to do a service tonight, and normally you guys would think, wow, we're going to do a lot of singing. But tonight we are not going to do a lot of singing. We're going to do a lot of scripture reading and a lot of prayer. So Gary, following 253, will be coming up.
Oh, me, often I'm hindered on my way, burdens all heavy I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. May the trials, toils, and tears, many a heartache here appall. But the dear Lord so truly says, heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. Toiling and pain I will endure, till I shall hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I'm sure,
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word, Jesus, Lord God Almighty, wonderful Counselor, Light of the World, the Prince of Peace, Hope of Glory, Man of Sorrows, Lamb of God. Reading in Isaiah chapter 7, just verse 14. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The account in Luke, hundreds of years later, reading Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." In chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, peace, goodwill toward men.'" Let's say a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we realize that from the very beginning of Jesus being born, there was great joy, even from angels, and that he has brought joy ever since, that he is the best source, and he brings a peace that is like no other peace. We can have that peace within our souls. We're thankful for that. We realize, Father, that every good thing has come from you, and any troubles that we have, and become better people. We thank you for everything.
So this afternoon I was asked if I'd like to talk on a subject, and the subject that I had come up with was about hope. And I'd like to read 1 Peter chapter 3, the entirety of the chapter. And I'd like for us to draw some examples of this hope that applies to all of us. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to be reading from the ESV. And it reads, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respect and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, and the pulling and then putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the
immeasurable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight, is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, and tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and sees good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and let his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from the evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, when the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subject to him. And also, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of. Dear most gracious, kind, and heavenly Father, we humbly bow, giving you praise and glory this day, thanking you, Father, for all that you have given to us. At this time, Father, we would like to pray a special prayer on hope, and how we have hope through your Son, Jesus, how he so willingly died on the cross for our sins, just so that we will have a hope to live with you for eternity, as long as we do your will. I pray, Father, that as we read these words this night, each and every one of us has a part and an action of hope that we can apply to our daily lives. I pray, Father, that we may not revile evil for evil, but yet we will show blessing, kindness, and caring, and knowing that in the end, if we are to yield up our lives and we have hope, we will live with you for eternity for righteousness' sake. I ask, Father, that as we go about our daily lives, that we will be gracious, kind, and caring towards each other, but those especially that are lost in this world, those that persecute us, those that slander us. I ask, Father, that you please have hope, that we may reach those lost souls before it is. Please help us to have a mind that is ready and prepared to answer the reason why we have hope in ourselves. And it's strictly through your Son, Jesus Christ, that I pray these things through your Son's most holy name, Jesus Christ.
If you'd like to follow along, excuse me, I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 6. And while I have this opportunity, I just want to say that Connie and I are very thankful to for all the warm. Truly a pleasure to see John up here Wednesday. We're very thankful that for him following, you know, his spiritual leadership. And again, that you provide love and walk. So Matthew chapter 6, 25, do not worry is the title. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Our dear Heavenly Father, we stand before you, realizing your most gracious power, almighty power. And Father, we know that it is easy for, in times of these, we just pray, such as the verse that we will always seek to your extent. You will provide our every need. And we just pray that as.
If you're using your Bibles, you can open to Isaiah 57 and 2 Corinthians 5. I don't know how you do that on the mobile device, but if you're using your Bibles, you can turn to both of them now. Put a finger in 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to start in Isaiah 57. The righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee or a down payment. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we humbly approach your throne of grace once again, Lord. So thankful for your word, for the scriptures, for the reminders that it provides us. It is so easy to be focused on this life, on the physical things around us, on living within this body, this temporary body that we have. It is our aim, Lord, that we would keep our focus on you, on being present with you. We're thankful for the Spirit that you've given to us, your scriptures, this down payment, this guarantee of what we have to come. We pray, Lord, that we would remind ourselves that this life is temporary, that we long to be with you, to be present with you in a way that can only be possible after we pass from this life. We're thankful for the promise of eternal life in your Son. And even though, Lord, it is difficult to say goodbye to loved ones, if they are faithful in Christ, we know that it is far better for them to be home with you. Lord, that is our goal. That is what we strive for. That is what we live for. We live so that we can die and be with you. We're thankful for your Son that makes it possible through his sacrifice and our submission to his will. We pray, Lord, that you'd forgive us of our sins. Be with us always, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you would like to read with me, you're welcome to. We're going to be looking at Psalms 119, verse 10 through 37. This is the longest psalm in the book of Psalms. It's 176 verses. We're not going to read all those, obviously, but to get a good consensus of it, I wanted to have a little foreword on what I'm going to read. This is David. This is before Christ came to the earth. And he looked at the Word of God like he would have, or like we look at Jesus' Word, the same thing. The general subject of this psalm is the law of God. And we should consider it as a rule of life, as sanctifying our soul, as our support in trials, as imparting happiness to our minds and our hearts. Considering God's law and obedience to it, and the gospel of Jesus and how we should consider it in our lives. By reading these words in Psalms, I think that David really encapsulated what I'm saying here. So in Psalms 119, verse 10 through 37 says, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Don't let me wander from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, Yahweh. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Do good to your servant. I will live and I will obey your word. open my eyes that I may see, wondrous things out of your law. I am a stranger on the earth. Don't hide your commandments from me. You have rebuked the proud who are cursed, who wander from your commandments. Take reproach and contempt away from me, for I have kept your statutes. Though princes sit and slander me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Though princes sit and slander me, indeed your statutes are my delight and my counselors. My soul is laid low in the dust. Revive me according to your word. I declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Then I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me away from deceit. Grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. I have set your ordinances before me. I cling to your statutes. Yahweh, don't let me be disappointed. I run in the path of your commandments, for you have set my heart free. Teach me, Yahweh, the way of your statutes. I will keep them to the end. Give me your understanding. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law. Yes, I will obey it with my whole heart. Direct me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in them. Turn my heart toward your statutes, not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. Revive me in your ways. It's an incredibly humble heart that David is displaying here. For the love of God's guidance, his word, and his willingness to keep them. If you would, please bow with me. Righteous Father, we are so thankful for those that have gone on before us. Your servant David, who before Christ came to be on this earth, he looked to you for the same things that Christ teaches us this day. We praise you, Father, for David, and we praise him for understanding and giving us an example that we can also look to as to how we should feel about you. We thank you so much for loving us, to give us that word, and to protect us, to give us our faith, to strengthen us and protect us from sin. We thank your son Jesus as he was there with you while David was praying these things to you, listening to it. And pray, Father, that he will listen to us as well, that we have the same heart and desire to do the same things that David sought from you. We ask, Lord, that this congregation be humble, faithful, strong, ready to do good, ready to forgive, and ready to teach your word, and ready to love each other. We ask that your hand be with us and help us learn much more through our entire life so that we never forget what we should be asking you and how we should look at you and what you have done for us, though we don't deserve it. We praise you in all things and ask that you would be with us. Through Christ we do offer this prayer. Amen.
I'm reading in the book of Psalms, chapter 112. The book of Psalms, 112. This talks about righteousness before the Lord and trusting in him only. Before that, I would like to read Psalms 111, verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Psalms 112, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with a man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice, for the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Let us pray. Father, we know that everything is before you and you control everything in our lives. We fear you, O Lord, not the fear that without love, but the fear with love and the fear to obey your commandments. Father, we pray before you that you give us the wisdom, the understanding of all your words, to obey your commandments at all times, in everything that we do, in everything that we think. We know, Father, that we cannot trust anything except your power and your glory, and through your Son Jesus, who gave us the opportunity to cover up our sins and give us the opportunity to have the eternal life, to live with you in heaven. And Father, we pray that through this opportunity, we will know and we will become mature in the spirit and truth, understanding your word in all our ways, in all our minds, and with all our soul. For we love you, Father. But in spite of that, we know that before we do, you have first loved us. And through that, we thank you for everything. And we thank you that you have given us this opportunity to rely and trust in you only, and to be with all at all times, praying to you, asking the forgiveness of all our sins from the time that we were in the midst of chaos in this world up to this time, present age. Father, we ask that you continue to bless us in all our ways, always trusting in you and trusting in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our faith in him, please provide us the wisdom and understanding to be able to understand your words and obey them from this moment up to the future. In his name we pray. Amen.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, and then we will also be reading Philippians, the fourth chapter. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose name are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, who transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That was great. That was great. The only assignment that was given to the men when I asked them to read was to speak with their spouses. Ask their spouses what their favorite scriptures were. Let them have input into what you're going to say. That was the assignment. Yet you look at all these scriptures, and you could do it probably 100 times with different people in different situations. And all those, the Word of God is always going to blend together. It's always going to be about truth, righteousness, God's will. Christ has come. We have hope in everything that God has presented to us. We have faith in God. It's everywhere. It's everywhere we look. It's in everything that we do. It's in everything that we see in God's Word. Everything is true. We can look forward to heaven. We've talked about that before. God gave it to us. It's all His. He didn't have to do anything. But He loves each of us. The law of God is true. We need to stand sanctified always before Him in everything that we do. We need to trust in the Lord, and in all things we need to rejoice in the Lord. That's pretty much the invitation. For anyone who hasn't had the opportunity or has come to the realization that they need God in their life, at this time we offer the invitation to you now as together we stand and sing number 480.
We are bound for Canaan's land, chanting by the way. Who shall lead us on the road? Choose your king today. Dare to stand like Joshua. Dare to say the word. As for me and
prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us the ability to come here and worship you free from persecution. And we also thank you for the power of prayer, which allows us to connect with you and to communicate with you freely. We thank you for the word, which
is a tool to guide us in our daily lives, and we ask that you help us do that. We ask that you help us depart from here safely, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.